and I'll write a web address on the board. Summary notes are available.
Okay.
I've asked for a link to be put on the course webpage for this program. And when it is, you won't have to remember all that. I'll wait another minute. If we haven't seen you before, welcome. I'm going to do these lectures in 4 1.5-hour lectures, so it seems like a long sit each time. But it worked before, and I hope it works again. As I said, there's notes available. Of course, these notes are going to be changed a bit as time goes on, because I'm going to find things as I go through them. So, if you find something, let me know, and we'll try to keep them up to date. This is a big subject, appreciates the spectra. In principle, it engulfs all of stable homotopy theory, okay, as well as it's related to a lot of the applications we're seeing in algebraic geometry and K-theory these days. And it starts with the notion of what a spectrum is. And when I say spectrum, I always mean the old Busfield-Friedlander combinatorial definition. The paper is referred to in the references here. It's also online, or on the online references. Every homotopy theorist of a certain age has a very dog-eared copy of this paper on their desk. Okay. And what is a spectrum? Well, I mean, it's a combinatorial description of spectra, so it's based in point and simplicial sets. So a spectrum X consists of pointed simplicial sets. The infinite list of them together with pointed simplicial set maps. From the suspension of one to the next. I usually write sigma for these things and call them bonding maps. And in general, I'm going to be rather heartless about what I assume about simplicial sets. The simplicial circle, which is what you're seeing there, is what you get by taking the standard one simplex and collapsing its boundary to a point. Okay, so when you realize that, you get a real live circle. So when you realize one of these spectrum objects here, you get a spectrum in topological spaces in the old sense. a map of spectra. Well, it consists of planet superficial set maps. Relating the various levels, the X upper end is the nth level of the spectrum X, such that, I'll use F for everything here. And remind you, it's an infinite list of these things. And so a map of spectra consists of a bunch of planet superficial set maps which respect structure in the sense that they commute with the bonding maps. All these maps are related by the bonding maps. There's an obvious category of such things, and the category, I'll write this way, this is the category of spectra and maps between them. All right. I'm starting here because I want to generate some notation before I go on. And that notation is related to a lot of standard constructions. So first off, let's suppose that Y is a point of superficial set. The so-called suspension spectrum consists of, well, what you see in level 0 is Y, what you see in level 1 is a suspension of Y, what you see in level 2 is a double suspension of Y, and so on. Generally, when I write that, I don't mean the simplicial nth here, I mean the n-fold smash power copies the simplicial circle, okay? And that will be true essentially forever. Okay, now of course the bonding maps here are just canonical isomorphisms. And the suspension spectrum has this categorical feature, namely if you look at morphisms in the category spectra, from suspension spectrum to anything, that's the same thing as morphisms in pointed simplicial sets from Y to the level 0 part of the spectrum X. Okay? So the suspension spectrum construction is left adjoint to the functor from spectra to pointed simplicial sets, which picks off the level 0 piece. Okay. Amongst all suspension spectra, there's a special one. F0 is a simplicial zero circle. Well, it's the boundary of a unit interval. You know, it consists of two points, and it's pointed by zero. And this is otherwise known as a sphere spectrum. This gadget S0 has the agreeable property that when you smash anything with S0, you just get the thing back. So the suspension, the sphere spectrum consists of S0 and level 0, S1 and level 1, S2 and level 2, and so on. Okay? All right. Suppose I give you a spectrum. Suppose I also give you a pointed simplicial set. And there's a new spectrum called of X mass K that you can build. It's a spectrum. And the piece of it at level N is what you get by taking the level N part of X and smashing with K. And, of course, the bonding map. Got by taking the original bonding map and smashing on right with K. Okay? All right. So, something to notice, the suspension spectrum associated to K is just a sphere spectrum smashed with K according to this definition. And so on. Okay. Amongst all these things, there's a special thing. We can take a spectrum X and smash it on the right with a simplicial circle, and this is the suspension at X. Right. Now, so if K was S1, note how the bonding map here is defined. Okay? There's also a fake suspension. I guess I invented this term a while back. Okay? And the space at level N of the fake suspension is that, okay? Which, of course, is isomorphic to what you get here at K with S1, okay? So it's isomorphic at level N to the ordinary suspension. And the bonding map, I'm sorry, yes, I need this. Is the suspension on the left of the original bonding map. All these spaces at the various levels are isomorphic to all the spaces at the various levels that you would see in the ordinary suspension, but the bonding map is different. In particular, they differ by a twist on an S1 smash S1, which is non-trivial homotopically. Okay? And that is essentially the thing that caused all the trouble in definition of smash products of spectra for 30 years. Okay, so this is not the real suspension, which I take to this. Okay. Well, there's also a fake loop space. Or a fake loop spectrum. And let me use a Y there instead of X. The space at level N of the fake loop spectrum is that thing, which means function complex pointed. I'm going to drop the references to the points. YS, from S1 to YN, okay? And, well, you know, we have these bonding maps. They can also be described by their adjoints. Okay? And the bonding map here or the adjoint bonding map is that omega sigma star. Notice that the sigma, the bonding map is inside the omega. That's why it's called fake. If I give you an ordinary spectrum Y again, and a pointed simplicial set, there is a function complex spectrum. Okay? And the space at level n for this function complex spectrum is the pointed function complex that maps from K to the space at level n. Okay? And now the bonding map is adjoint to something. Well, how do you describe the adjoint? Well, you smash with K, okay, and take an evaluation map. There's a canonical evaluation down to yn plus 1. And here we have the suspension of the evaluation map to S1 smash Y, and here we have the bonding map from Y itself. So the bonding map here is defined to be the adjoint of sigma in this sense, in the sense of diagram units. Okay. And the real loops going to use this omega notation. Is that okay? That's what I mean by real loops. Now, real loops is right adjoint to suspension. Real suspension. Fake loops is right adjoint to fake suspension. Okay. Again, real loops is not the same thing as fake loops. Another thing to note that is that really, none of these constructions that involve function complexes in any way, that includes all loop spaces, make any sense other than as they don't make any homotopical sense unless all of these spaces at the various level are concomplexes or fiber in some sense. Okay, so when you're playing with these things, you have to make sure that you pass the fiber models first. Okay. To remind you of the construction here. So where are we at now? Went up to 7. Well, let's suppose that again X is a pointed simplicial set. Now you can take the free abelian free simplicial abelian group associated to X. So what that is, you just take the free abelian group in all the simplicial degrees, okay? And of course, sitting inside there is a base point. Let me represent it as a map, like so. Well, strictly speaking, we're picking up the base point that way. Okay, delta naught is the free zero simplex. Okay, and the quotient here is the reduced simplicial abelian group associated to X, and this is the thing that picks up reduced homology. Identical coefficients suitably defined. Okay? Now, and of course there's a map from X to the simplicial set underlying the associated three-viewing gadgets. And of course you can compose with the by collapsing out the image of the base point. And these are the various flavors of the Hurwitz homomorphism. Okay? The composite is the point of Hurwitz homomorphism. All right, now. Suppose that A is a simplicial viewing group. Well, remember, this is a simplicial object in the viewing groups, and secretly, it's the same thing as a chain complex. By this build of Kahn equivalence of categories, okay? There is a. We're certainly entitled to take this free reduced thing associated with the simplicial circle, and we can tensor degree wise with A. Okay? There is a canonical map from the smash of the simplicial circle with the simplicial set underlying A into the simplicial set underlying this gadget here. Okay, you can just see that in each degree because this is a set smashed with A and this is the three-viewing group tensored with A. Okay? You can evaluate in some ends. I typically call this gamma. That's a good pointed simplicial set map. And now we have this list of simplicial sets. There's A. Well, more notation. I don't like writing a lot of notation. This is what I mean by a pointed simplicial set. That's one answer to A. Okay, it's a simplicial viewing group. So there's A. Circle tensor with A. Circle tensor with A twice. And so on, and that's a spectrum. That's a spectrum associated with chain complex A. Okay, and the bonding maps are all given by instances of that. All right. This is an arbitrary chain complex. It's maybe a bit unfair. Here's the notation for it. This is the Annenberg-MacLean spectrum associated with chain complex A. Okay? Now, if A happened to consist a chain complex B concentrated in degree zero, or in other words, a discrete simplicial abelian group associated with B, then this gadget usually goes by a different name. Traditionally, this thing is written this way, it's the Annenberg-MacLean spectrum associated with the abelian group B. Okay? There's a whole theory here about transforming chain complexes of all stripes into spectra, okay? And they're not really going to be able to touch it at all. It's written up, it's out there. And it's a way to avoid triangulated categories if you want to. all these constructions are naturals. When I start talking about Prechet's perspective, which is diagrams of spectra, all these constructions apply. That's why I'm going through them now. Another basic construction for a quick, this line of things, it's a shift. So here we're going to take an integer n and a spectrum x. You take x and shift by this integer n, and the space at level k for that thing is the n plus k level of x if n plus k is greater than or equal to 0. And it's just a point. N plus k is less than 0. So if you're shifting down, in other words, by a negative number n, you're always going to get spaces here. But if you're shifting up, you're going to have to put in some points. And there's some basic facts. Certainly, you can take a spectrum x and shift once. And there's a canonical map from the fake suspension of x into the shift of x one times. By one, positive one, and this is a stable equivalent. And it's easy to see this, but what I mean by stable equivalence is that it induces an isomorphism in all stable homotopy groups. We can go look up the definition. Okay. At the same time, the adjoint of this thing, f from x, if you fake loops of the shift of x, which is the same thing, by the way, as fake loops of x shifted one times, is also a stable equivalence. If x consists of con complexes on all levels, that's so that you get the homotopy theory right. Names for such things. People tend to say that a spectrum X, which consists of con complexes everywhere, is strictly fiber, according to Busfield-Friedlander. All right. Factoids, if you look at a spectrum X shifted by N, look at the maps of spectra from shifted X to Y, that's the same thing as maps of spectra, it's just obvious, from X to Y shifted minus N times. Okay, this is true for all integers N. I should point out that if you take this shift and think about what it means for chain complexes here, okay, it's the reverse of the shift that the algebraic geometers use. And that always confuses people. This is a homotopy theoretic shift, and it's the right one. Okay. And if you look at that, you put a suspension spectrum in, okay, and shift it minus n times and map into spectrum y, that's the same thing as that. Here n had better be greater than or equal to 0. And this thing is same thing as maps from point of simplicial set K into the nth level of Y. So in other words, this functor has a left adjoint that you see there. Relentlessly. One final formal thing. Again, you can talk about a spectrum of X, and the nth layer of X, well, is a layer filtration. Okay, I'm specifying the nth term in the filtration. And the spectrum looks like X for a while, but after level N, start seeing suspensions, okay? And the model is our maps and the nth layer of X and anything else is completely determined by what happens in the maps up to level N. Okay. There's a layer filtration, obvious one. Let's put it. X is cofibrant, which in this case means that all these bonding maps are inclusions. This is what people called spectrum a long, long time ago. Okay. So let's suppose that X is cofibrant. If that's so, then the nth layer of X sits inside the n plus first layer of X, and they all sit inside X, of course, and their union is X. Okay. This is the layer filtration. And you get the nth layer, the n plus first layer, out of the nth layer. Well, the difference somehow between this and this guy is the presence of the n plus first layer, and there's a canonical map, or the n plus first level, and there's a canonical map like that. It picks off the n plus first level. And map like that, which is reflected by the bonding map, and it's supposed to be a co-fibration, right? Okay. And this is a push-out. And what that means is that if you have a spectrum in X which is co-fibrant in that sense, then it can be built up from the layers, you know, by just attaching spaces. And one uses that all the time, too. All right, so these are the basic constructions. They're all natural. And I use them all the time. And they all go back to antiquity and stable homotopy theory one way or another. You can find versions of all of these things in Adam's Blue Book, for example. Except that this is in a combinatorial setting. So what are appreciates of spectra? I'm going to launch right into this thing instead of talking about the stable homotopy category. I will describe a stable homotopy category for appreciates of spectra, which specializes in the ordinary one. Okay. So in all cases, whenever I write that, I mean small Grothendieck, right? Appreciate the spectra. is a contraband functor from that small Groton display taking values from spectra. A morphism of precedes of spectra. It's just a natural transformation of such functors. And there's a category of such things. I'm going to write that way. Now, I mean, this all just applies to diagrams, right? Because a Groton display can be anything, essentially, as long as it's small. And so, really, I'm just talking about diagrams of spectra at this point. I say precedes because there's a topology lurking around that contributes to the stable homotopy category. First created. All right. So, examples. Like I said, if I have a small category, what I mean is that there's no topology, whether it has a trivial topology, then precedes the spectra on that category is just IOP diagrams. In particular, if I happens to be the 1.1 object category, then diagrams on this thing are not too interesting. It's just the category spectra as I've defined it. Basic construction. Let's just suppose that Y is a plane of spectrum. Okay? And I'm working on some fixed Groton display at this point. Y has associated to it precedes the spectrum, which is a constant diagram on Y. Can't resist. The origins of all of this stuff are now algebraic geometry. So I'm going to use sort of standard algebraic geometric term out in a notation here. U is a member of the underlying psi. The sections of Y of this constant object, or the evaluation of the constant object's Y, the U sections, that is the spectrum Y, and any map in C, a morphism of schemes, if you like, determines a map in the opposite direction. This is Y, this is Y, and guess what that is? Okay, down again, Y. It's a constant diagram taking values in spectra associated to Y. This is interesting. Because if you look at maps from the constant guy associated with spectrum Y taking, you know, to a precedes the spectrum X, well, this is precedes the spectra. But here, that's spectra. And the maps in spectra from Y to something I'm going to write this way, where that thing is the inverse limit of all the values of X indexed over the whole site. This is, in other words, the global sections functor. Okay. An analysis of this thing is the heart and soul appreciates the spectra as it was originally conceived.
Because what we're interested in really is derived because of this.
Right spectrum gives you a constant frequency of the spectrum, right? In other words, you could take the sphere spectrum, take the associated constant guy, and I'm going to use notation and write that. Okay, this is the sphere spectrum for the category of frequency of the spectrum. And I might often forget to write down the gamma for star. Okay, and if I just talk about a spectrum and think of it as appreciate the spectrum, I mean the constant guy. Okay. Again, let's back up just a little bit. I'm going to talk about a sheaf of abelian groups on this site. Okay, I could talk about pre-sheaf. I'll say sheaf at this point. Now, see, I've written this down a little incorrectly in my notes, but you can take the constant object, constant simplicial object associated with the simplicial sheaf A to the sheaf A. So this is a constant simplicial sheaf of abelian groups. This is a sheaf of abelian groups. It's a thing that corresponds under the Dold-Kahn correspondence to the chain complex, the sheaf of chain complex, which consists of A concentrated in degree zero. Okay. Well, here's a simplicial abelian sheaf. This is a simplicial abelian pre-sheaf. You just form it section-wise, the way I told you to form it before. And so on. So you take, effectively, a suspension object and appreciates the chain complex that's associated with the KA0. In spectrum objects of pre-sheaf chain complexes. Let me just write that to remind you that there's a theory out there. Okay, well, this is a pre-sheaf spectrum. It's the Annenberg-MacLean spectrum. Or the Annenberg-MacLean object associated with the abelian group. Okay, now, if you go home and do some finger work, you will see that this is none other than a copy of the classifying object associated with the sheaf of groups A. Okay? And this is the candidate for pre-sheaf of some point of simplicial pre-sheaf whose sheaves of homotopy groups consist of A in degree 2 and 0 elsewhere. Okay? And the next thing, let me just write the general statement. This is what you mean by that I don't bring the plain object. All these suspensions in whatever category this is, give you the various Eilenberg-McLean complexes. As n varies. Okay. Now, who cares? This is a pointed simplicial precision, okay? There's a homotopy theory there. There's a homotopy theory of pointed simplicial precisions. Shorthand for pointed simplicial precisions, the cofibrations. The monomorphisms. The weak equivalences are the local weak equivalences. And maps of pointed simplicial precisions which induce isomorphisms in all possible local choices of sheaves of homotopy groups. Fibrations here, which are called global fibrations, are determined by lifting property with respect to trivial cofibrations. RLP is my acronym on the board for right lifting property. And global fibrations are determined by right lifting property with respect to all trivial cofibrations. In other words, all monomorphisms of pointed simplicial sheaves, which induce isomorphisms in all possible sheaves of homotopy groups. Now, if you have a theory of stocks around, okay, if you're working over something nice like a topological space, a local weak equivalence is a map which just induces a weak equivalence in all stocks. Okay, that's called pointed simplicial sets. So, that's easier to describe, and then you see what this is. Okay, but this is a general theory. It works for arbitrary group sites. And so you can take a fibrant model within it. So this is globally fibrant. And this is a weak equivalence. Typically a trivial cofibration. All right? And you can take global sections of this globally fibrant model, all right? And there's a little fact around which tells you what the homotopy groups of this guy based at zero are, and let me get it right. If you start at level n and work down, you see the the cohomology groups of the underlying site with coefficients in A in the reverse order. So up through degree N, you're seeing cohomology groups with coefficients in A for the site, but in reverse order, and above that, you're seeing zero. This is a fact you can prove. I demonstrated this in the last course I gave you. You can look it up in the notes. Essentially, it comes down to a co-cycle argument which evaluates morphisms in the homotopy category associated with model structure from point to Eilenberg-McLean object. And what you get is that, and then you get the rest of it by
vibration sequence argument. Okay. Well, so what? And there's how much of the theory I'm going to describe for Perseus' spectra, okay? You can take this Heisenberg-McLean object, you can take what's called a stably vibrant model for it and evaluate in global sections. We have our Heisenberg-McLean object. Let me call it this, because this is the notation I'm going to use. It's a stably vibrant model. Meaning that this is a stable equivalence in some sense, and this is vibrant in some sense. Okay, and you can look at global sections of the stably vibrant model. In other words, look at just its inverse limit over all sections. And this thing has stable homotopy groups. And the question is, what are they? Well, all of this data here lines up. Okay, that's what happens. And what you see is the cohomology of the underlying site. Well, I mean, this could be an atoll site to be telling you what the cohomology of the skiing. The cohomology of the underlying site with coefficients in A in negative degrees, but in reverse order, okay, going down, and you see zero. Okay, it's greater than zero, and I'll sketch this as time goes by. Okay, so the point of this is that whatever this stable homotopy theory is, it catches all of sheaf cohomology. Okay? So, or to put it a different way, you can find a spectrum, namely this guy, the stable homotopy groups or sheaf cohomology groups. So that's kind of an advertisement for what's coming. Now, one final example. Lost the numbering. Let's talk about something real. Like schemes locally finite type over a decent fixed scheme S. Okay? Now, you want the site to be small. Okay, well, what I've written down doesn't mean that it's small, but you just say that you just impose a big cardinality down on the schemes in question. Okay, so that's technically a trick that you're doing all the time to analyze big sites. So there's a pre-sheaf of spectra. Goes by the provocative name of K, which is the algebraic K theory pre-sheaf of the spectra. It's still a case that if you look for a description of this pre-sheaf, you go out in the literature and look for a description of it, the things that you read will make your hair stand up. Okay. Because it's built out of the algebraic K theory spectra, but they're not exactly functorial, all right? So there has to be some homotopy coherence that you build into it one way or another. But this thing can be constructed. And this is a crime I committed a bunch of years ago. It arises from a pseudofunctor taking values in pseudo-simplicial symmetric model categories, okay? Anyway, you can write down the spectrum, whatever it is, and it's the algebraic K-theory pre-sheaf spectra. It has stable homotopy groups. When you take sections for some F scheme U and take the J-stable homotopy group, this is traditional algebraic K-theory view, J's algebraic K-group, okay, that arises from the Quillen K-construction. And it was really an analysis of this guy and this guy alone that created the whole of the pre-sheaf spectra shtick, okay? Because this is how one gets a hold of questions related to so-called Lichtenbaum-Quillen conjecture for K-theory. Okay. I can get through about 15 of these pages in 90 minutes. I'm at page 10, so it's on schedule. If you look at the notes, there's 120 pages. So we're not going to get through it all, but I think it's a good idea to go through this slowly so you can see what the examples are. All right, now, there's this model structure for pointed simplicial pre-sheaves. And it creates model structures for pre-sheaves of spectra, one of which is, gives you stable homotopy theory. I want to try to describe those quickly. Okay. Before we go on, let me warn you about something, okay? Big, fat, dangerous bend. And this is a mistake that great men have made, all right? You need all possible shades of homotopy groups to describe weak equivalences here, even in the presence of a fixed choice of base point, okay? So let me say it this way. Let me be exactly correct. When is a map of pointed simplicial pre-sheaves a weak equivalence? Well, there's a cool way and an ugly way to describe these things. I'm going to give you the ugly way because that's the one you use in practice. Maps of local weak equivalence, first of all, when you look at path components of X everywhere, well, that's just a pre-sheaf of set, so you take the associated sheaf. You want that to be an isomorphism of sheaves. You want the map to induce an isomorphism of sheaves of path components. And secondly, if I take an object of C, think of it as a scheme, okay? If I take a vertex view, arbitrary vertex now, X restricts to a simplicial pre-sheaf on the objects of C over U, okay? Just by forgetting and compose with X, all right? And so this lives in global sections X restricted to U, okay? Because it's, I mean, X of U is global sections of this restricted guy because U is terminal there. Okay, and what you want is isomorphisms of sheaves for all such possible choices. Okay, so you want isomorphisms of local sheaves of homotopy groups for all local choices of base points. It is not enough. For a sheaf isomorphism from the sheaf of homotopy groups based at this global God-given choice of base point to the corresponding thing for Y based at the star, okay? Okay, that's not enough. That's the real definition. The only time this becomes enough is when you're dealing with, for example, something that looks like a pre-sheaf of H spaces or something like that, and that does come up in spectra, and that's why it's enough just to insist for stable homotopy group isomorphisms. This held up publication of a rather famous paper for about 10 years. So we're using this underlying model structure for point simplicial pre-sheaves with this caveat, okay? All right. So I don't have to do this, but I'm going to construct the stable model structure for pre-sheaves of spectra in two stages, the first of which is well known. So here's some definitions. Definitions are available in shocking generality. Okay, we're talking about pre-sheaves of spectra on an arbitrary small site. So a map is a strict weak equivalence if all maps and all levels are weak equivalences of point simplicial pre-sheaves for all n. The local weak equivalence. Okay, so this is a level-wise weak equivalence, and maps are strict weak equivalence if and only if the weak equivalence of point simplicial pre-sheaves local and all n. I say that the map between pre-sheaves and spectra is a strict vibration. If again, in all levels, you see in global vibrations of point simplicial pre-sheaves. Okay. Well, I should say I'm just following Buffsfield and Friedlander's definitions, okay? And this will not be a stable structure by any means, but it's kind of a way to get to it. We have this preliminary model structure, and I could just say, well, the co-vibrations are what they have to be in this case, but
I don't have to.
A map appreciates the spectra is a co-vibration. Two things happen. First, in level zero, you're seeing a co-vibration point in push appreciation, just inclusion everywhere. And secondly, let me draw a little cheat thing over here. Because among other things, I am supposed to respect structure in the sense that this commutes. And what you want at this point is to push out and look at the map and push out to be n plus 1. You want all these maps from all these push-outs to the corresponding level of B, level 1 plus 1 of B, to be co-vibrations as well. Here's the lemma. Anybody can prove this, it's real easy. This gives you a model structure. Category spectrum objects has the structure of, well, here's all the adjectives, the proper closed simplicial model structure. So it satisfies . So there's a few adjectives here. The vibrations and the weak equivalences are defined level wide. Okay, the underlying model structure for point of simplicial precedence is proper. So for example, when you pull back a weak equivalence along a vibration, you get a weak equivalence. So the same thing certainly happens with this so-called strict structure on precedence spectrum. The same story. That's the definition of co-vibration, but it implies that all those guys are co-vibrations. Well, if A and B is a co-vibration, then the suspension is a co-vibration, so this push-out is a co-vibration. And you're asking for the map from the push-out to be n plus 1 to be a co-vibration as well, so that when you compose the two, you get a co-vibration. Okay, so that's the inductive argument that shows you get co-vibrations at all levels. And so the so-called left properness for point of simplicial precedence implies left properness. In other words, when you push out a weak equivalence along a co-vibration, you get a weak equivalence, just by virtue of this observation here. Okay, so that's something anybody can do. I do want to show you a trick. You have this comparison map of co-vibrations here, presumably. Okay? Suppose you know that all these guys are co-vibrations. So you have a comparison map of co-vibrations. When is this comparison map going to be a co-vibration itself? It's when the map on co-fibers is a co-vibration. So that map of precedes the spectra is a co-vibration. If and only if two things happen. First of all maps, like so, are co-vibrations. Why doesn't Bush appreciate? And secondly, when you look at this comparison map of co-fibers, you get a co-fibration for all that. This is just set theory. Okay, you just think about it for points and pushel sets. It's okay. So then it'll be okay for appreciates the spectra. This is not something that's in the literature. All right. Why would I care? This is another basic feature of co-fibrations. Let's suppose I give you a picture like this. This is a co-fibration of precedes the spectrum. And this is an inclusion of a subobject. It's a levelized co-fibration, but not necessarily a co-fibration the way I've defined it. So this is an inclusion of a subobject. So let's take this picture and let's take the pullback. I should have said that spectra enhanced precedes the spectra have as many completeness properties as you like. So certainly this is a subobject of that, and there's this pullback map, which is a level of co-fibration, right? But Morley has given this picture, this map I star is a co-fibration of precedes the spectra too. There's been a proof around since my motivic symmetric spectral paper of that little fact, but it was real dirty back then. And there's a way to clean it up with this different approach to co-fibrations. Let me see if I can just draw a quick picture. Certainly when you pull back in each level, you're getting a level-wise co-fibration there. Okay? So that part of I star is a co-fibration is okay. So what do we need to be able to compare things? And comparison, it's induced by the picture. Now, this is a pullback. That makes this a co-fibration. Okay? And before we suspended, we had a co-vibration there too for the same reason. So this is a co-vibration. And this is a co-vibration. So this must be a line morphism. Okay, it's a co-vibration. So you can do that in all levels, so let's pull back here. It's a co-vibration. Right? I hope to be able to tell you why I care about that before we quit today. I didn't say what the closed simplicial model structure here meant. If you have precedes of spectra X and Y, okay, there's a function complex around. Right, and this is a simplicial set. And what are the n simplices? Well, you can take a spectrum and smash with a simplicial set. You can take a pre-sieve extractor and smash with a simplicial set. In particular, I take this thing. When I write plus in anything, I mean attach a disjoint base point. And I can look at all morphisms of pre-sieve extractor of this sort, okay? And let n vary, you get a simplicial set back. This is a function complex. And it's left adjoint to, well, yeah, it satisfies a good adjointness relation with smashing on the right with a pointed simplicial set. Okay. And this is the gadget that's creating the closed simplicial model structure here. But you already had that for pointed simplicial pre-sheaves, so it's okay. All right. Well, this is all very well and good, but it's not what you want. You want some notion of stable equivalence. And so, I mean, you know, pre-sieves of spectra. Let me tell you how to measure stable equivalence. That's what I'm going to do now. So the nth pre-sheaf of stable homotopy groups of X, guess what? Spectra has stable homotopy groups. It's a nice functorial construction. So this is the nth stable homotopy group of the spectrum you get by evaluating a U. Okay? So pre-sheafs of spectra have pre-sheafs of stable homotopy groups. There's one of these for every integer. I won't remind you how to construct these things just yet. It's well known. So, what we really want to use to measure stable equivalence is not the pre-sheaves of stable homotopy groups, but their associated sheaves. Notation means if that is the sheaf associated with the pre-sheaf of stable homotopy groups pi n. Okay?
why do you want to use sheaves at this point? It's because you want to measure the weak equivalences locally, all right, with respect to the topology that's there on the underlying Grothendieck site. And I say that a map of pre-sheaves of spectra is a stable equivalence if and only if all induced maps of associated sheaves are isomorphisms. Okay? So this is what we mean by stable equivalence, and I might sometimes say local, just to emphasize the point, because whether or not a map of sheaves is isomorphic, it's completely controlled by what's going on locally with respect to the underlying topology. Now, I mean, it's on the board here. Note the difference. There's only one base point here. It's describing the stable homotopy groups, but there's all sorts of crux that happens unstably. And the reason is that you can replace spectra by pre-sheaves in this case. So I got the definition of cofibration on the board in two sorts. That would be the cofibrations for the stable model structure. I say that map of pre-sheaves of spectra is a stable fibration if and only if it has the right lifting property. With respect to all cofibrations as defined over there, which are stable equivalences. Okay. And you'll hear me say that these cofibrations, which are stable equivalences, are stably trivial cofibrations. That's easier to say, okay? Now, we've got a description of function complex on the board. We'll keep that. And here's the theorem. I guess this was originally due to me with these definitions. In other words, stable equivalence, cofibration. Category appreciates the spectra as a structure. The proper closed simplicial model category. Now C, the underlying site, we're one point with no topology. Okay. This is a theorem of Busfield-Friedlander, the original theorem. Okay. The proof of this thing was originally modeled on the Busfield-Friedlander proof of the original theorem. And that was fine. It got the engines up and running, but I want to show you a different approach to proving this. It goes at it kind of backwards from some point of view. Oh. I don't think they wrote down this statement. Maybe that this model structure. Co-vibrantly generated. In other words, all the co-vibrations are generated by some mystical set of co-vibrations and all trivial co-vibrations are generated in a prescribed way by a set of trivial co-vibrations. This part we know since Duxfield Friedlander. Maybe we knew it at the time. It's not clear. But the proof I'm going to show you starts with taking this seriously first. Okay. I think that's a good place to stop for today. Any questions?